Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'll be your host today. In our next segment, Energy Economy, we talk with Stephanie Hoffert, President and CEO of Minot Area Development Corporation.
Major economic projects or public-private partnerships?
You know, the airport is just amazing. You know, there may be some naysayers out there thinking that that the airport should have been here 5 years ago. We're too late, and you know, now everything's, you know, slowed down, and that is not true. I mean, we, you know, yeah, boardings are down, but if you look back at what was happening in Minot back 2005 to 2007, you know, we were declining, and it was not an easy place to find a job. I mean, you look now that we have traffic coming in from Canada, even though the Canadian dollar is pretty low right now. But we have, you know, we are the regional hub for the western part of the state, and you know, having the opportunity to have an airport where people don't have to park, you know, a mile away and walk, and have a place to actually sit until their plane arrives. I mean, this new airport has been a phenomenal opportunity for Minot, you know, and we're very lucky to have it. And I think, you know, we will see probably another airline coming in, and we'll be seeing prices hopefully coming down a little bit. And I think we're going to be very competitive, and we're very proud of the new airport. The city has done a fantastic job getting, you know, FAA to put in the funding they did. And, you know, the project, if you go to see it, it's very beautiful. You can watch planes coming in, and you can see, you know, our old airport. You couldn't even see any of the airplanes at all, and now you've got just a great sight over the city, in fact, being up on North Hill. Other projects that are going on, if you look at downtown Minot, I mean, they have gotten some federal dollars to redo all of the water and sewer lines downtown, and so right now we're in a, you know, construction mode, but, you know, you give it, you know, another 2 years, downtown's going to be finished. One parking ramp is completed. Another one is on its way to be completed by, you know, within the next month or so. They plan to do some retail around it. It's kind of that mixed-use thing with apartments on top. So, you know, they're trying to make downtown a little bit more of a live-work play type of area. So that's pretty exciting, too, for us. Minot State University wants to get involved as well downtown and maybe have a, you know, an off-campus a couple programs that can be intertwined within Minot State University. Trinity Health, you know, has announced that they're going to be building a new regional hospital. And so they will be moving some of their services out of downtown, but that'll give opportunities for, they're going to, you know, help repurpose those buildings and make use of those. Maybe we do a Votech college or something like that, some Votech programs down there, and something that'll complement with Minot State. So we're pretty excited about that as well. You know, the new hospital that Trinity is proposing, I mean, is going to be a great campus for us, too. They're talking, you know, a good between $240 and $270 million on that new hospital. And since the activity has heightened in Minot in the last 5 years, you know, we also have presence from St. Alexis up on North Hill. They built a clinic there. We have Sanford as a walk-in clinic, you know, on the east side of town. So we've got a little competition too, which is good. We've got, you know, a lot of needs. A lot of the people from the western part of the state come here for medical needs, and so it's very important that we have, you know, a good medical system here for our community and for the surrounding areas.
To listen to the full-length interview with Stephanie Hoffert, or to listen to other energy economy features, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
So Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
Hey folks, I'm multimedia journalist Jason Spies and the host of Building the Bakken Radio and Coffee and Capitalism. Traveling across the Rocky Mountain region and the upper Midwest has introduced me to many new people, landed me in exciting places, and created lifelong connections. And there's one place I want to tell you about today, and that's the Lodge at Deadwood. It is without a doubt my favorite place to stay in the Black Hills. In fact, not only is it my favorite, it's pretty much everybody else's. They're a three-time recipient of the best hotel, best casino, and best overall restaurant in the Black Hills. So if you're planning a conference, maybe a weekend getaway, a wedding, whatever it might be, I truly invite you to check out the Lodge at Deadwood and find out why they're consistently voted the best hotel, the best casino, and the best restaurant. Now listen, if I didn't believe that the Lodge at Deadwood was the best place to stay in the Black Hills, I wouldn't be doing this testimonial across our media network, which spans 5 states and 30 plus radio stations. And I feel very confident when I say the Lodge at Deadwood will exceed all your expectations. Check them out online today at deadwoodlodge.com. That's deadwoodlodge.com.
My name is Otis, and I am the host of the Kids in Capitalism KidCast. Let me tell you about one of our sponsors. Hatch Realty is in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Call Eric Hatch or anyone on the Hatch Realty team with any real estate question. They want to be a resource and connection for you. That's Hatch Realty, 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hatch Realty in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Hatch Realty, tell them Otis sent you.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'll be your host today. In our next segment, Energy Technology, we talk with John Springsteen with Simtronix.
Are you finding that other industries are picking up the simulation? I'm thinking of like ag, for example, agriculture, or pharmaceuticals?
Yeah, it was always more difficult to simulate batch processes, but now the technology's advanced. So almost all the major Pfizer and all the major pharmaceutical companies have simulation to train their manufacturing facility operators.
How does it work for, let's say you bring on a client? I imagine everything's specialized per client?
No, not necessarily. A lot of people can, we have a generic library of simulations, which is somebody else's plant that we've modeled that isn't restricted by proprietary data, and we can sell it to anybody. And if you have a distillation column in a refinery, 90% were the same. So you could take that generic model and get good process training, diagnose skill deficiencies that need to be worked on. And then if you want to go to more advanced plant specific, you can do it in the field or get a custom simulator.
Are you finding that is a pretty acceptable technology, or is there a learning curve, or are there some other barriers to entry?
Well, I've been doing this since 1979, and it was very difficult to get people to accept simulation then. Now it's been used so often. People know about flight simulators, of course. And most of the plants here in North Dakota, all across the country and the world, have probably used a simulator to train their operators over the last couple of decades. So it's accepted, but it's always that training is always something that seems to be cut back when times get tough. So it's still a hard sell sometimes.
1979. I believe banks were using circular punch cards as computers. How much has changed in your industry? Because I'm trying to think, what would a simulator look like in 1979?
1979, it was circuit cards. So you had to be able to design the process and then suck solder to make sure the circuit cards work properly. And they were in big boxes. And you maybe had 10 control loops as opposed to hundreds now. And it would cost you maybe $1 million. And that same model that cost that much then costs about $5,000 now.
Do you ever just sit back and wonder how you could go from circuit boards and punch cards to Sim City and Sim Tycoon Park, and because I know that's not what you're doing, but that's the way a lot of people probably recognize it as, okay, I'm building some simulated house or so. It's a lot more complex people than that. But when you go from circuit boards and punch cards to an actual high definition, almost real looking movie, that's got to be pretty remarkable.
Oh, technology keeps changing, and the simulation engineers still do it the same way.
They do.
They take the process data, and they design a model. It's just that the tools they have are so much more advanced now, they can do it much more efficiently. It's not as much rework, and the big thing is companies that buy a simulator never could change it. It was a moment in time frozen. Now you can change it almost on a daily basis.
Are you finding that more companies, is your industry growing? Is it staying the same? Is it declining, I guess?
It's consolidating and it's growing because most of the simulator companies have been gobbled up by bigger companies and then they expand them. So if you're a small company like we are, you're one of the few left. But it's a growing industry and it's accepted now, much more used to it.
All right, a little free plug commercial for you here. Talk about, who your ideal customer would be and how they might get in touch with you.
There's two type of customers. There's a process plant that might be going through expansion or a bunch of retirements and new hires and or new technology, and they need to train operators. And we have a simulator that probably, we have a model that is like your unit in the plant. We can deliver pretty quickly and you can start training. The other half of our client base is colleges who have process technology degree programs, and they train students to become operators in the plant, and Bismarck State College is one of them, as I mentioned. And there's about 70 others in the United States that use our simulator.
John Springsteen, thank you.
Well, thank you.
Simtronics.
To listen to the full-length interview with John Springsteen or to listen to other energy technology features, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.